The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mint with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I've got the NFL app on right now because our TV may or may not be broken. We're not 100% sure on it. We're going to figure it out. I don't know. But I'm watching Bills Chiefs from last year, remembering the Bills were 6-6 at that point, and remembering how this game ends.
It was a dark time. I remember
It was not a good time.
Every day going in the playoff, New York Times playoff machine, and just being like, okay, what if this happens? What if that happens? What's the best and worst case scenarios for the next week?
In reality, all we needed was Miami to just completely fall apart.
As they do.
As they do.
Hey,
the Bills did their job.
They almost fell apart last
night. Did you see that game?
Did you see that there was like, I mean, I was watching the condensed highlights, so I don't know if it was play after play after play, but I think there was like four plays in a row where it was just every play was a turnover.
Yeah. It felt like it.
Pretty much?
It was pretty much. It was
because there was an interception
to a fumble to then another fumble.
And then another interception.
I think so.
It's just, that's wild. And the Rams don't even score a touchdown.
But at that point, I did turn the game off. I was like, this is not worth it for me. This is just not it.
Yeah. Like I said, I watched the condensed version, so I didn't even see like most of the game. I saw like the highlights, I guess, if you want to call it that.
And
even
those would be considered low lights.
Right. I mean, except for there was one where Jonnu Smith catches a ball over the middle and just trucks a dude.
Yeah.
Like, and that actually, no, it was right before the Tyreek Hill touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He gets down to like the 1 yard line, and on his way, he trucks two or three guys and just, I'm not a Dolphins fan, but I'm kind of sad that he didn't get in there. Like, you deserve to score that touchdown.
Yes.
Like,
that's
crazy. And then for them to not give it to him on the next play, like,
it's
come
tough.
On. He deserves that.
Hate to see it.
Well, you don't.
But overall, I not a good game. Was not really a big fan of that game. But yeah, so I've got last year's Chiefs and Bills regular season matchup on the TV. I think Jeremy and Joe were also listening to it as well. And a lot of that is coming to sort of one of the topics I want to take from today, because I really, really liked Joe and Jeremy's conversation from this morning to the poll of, is this year's team the best team under McDermott and Allen? Because they, you know, record-wise, have the best start to the year at 8-2. Just spoiler alert, flat out for me, I said no. It's either 2020 for me. Me and Josh were talking here in the break, too. 2022 probably has a good shout. For me, though, I always just kind of remember the end of that season and just how much it felt like they were running out of gas. And then the Cincinnati incident with DeMar Hamlin, and then just kind of how that season ended really left a bad taste in my mouth overall. 2020, though, for me was just, it felt like they were having fun. It felt like they were just toying with teams a lot of the time. They had made their ascension in 19, and then in 20, it was just, all right, here we go. Like, they're great. They're really good. And it was sort of also this weird feeling around the team because you didn't get the normal off season with them due to COVID. You kind of only got glimpses at them. You didn't really know what Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs would look like together. You knew what Cole Beasley was because of 2019, but you didn't totally know what that was going to be. And then just all of a sudden, you know, that first Jets game, Allen's first 300-yard game, another 300-yard game, a 400-yard game. I mean, just it felt like, again, like they were toying with teams, and it was so much fun to watch. They were so good, and that was maybe the first time in my life as a Bills fan that it felt like, oh, so this is what all the 90s fans were talking about. Because up to that point, you know, you had 2019, but they were clearly limited on offense. I remember a lot of Bills fans wanting a shot at the Chiefs at that year if they had beaten Houston. And I was like, that's like the last thing I want. I don't think they're that good at all. I think they're getting there, but And at that time, too, the Chiefs were in the middle of their first juggernaut run and such. So there was a little bit of a weird feeling there. But 2020 was the first time I thought, oh, they're good, good. And then it's really kind of continued from there, where now I just have like a almost blind trust in this team to make the playoffs every year, to win at least a playoff game every year. I mean, they've been pretty darn good at that outside of 2019 and 2017 to win at least a playoff game. They've been great. They've been absolutely unbelievable. But they have not gotten over the hump. And that's sort of where, you know, at least the topic of discussion for me today, Josh is handling stuff on the board on the other side of here. We're kind of short-manned here. So Josh will be coming in and out. But it's really going to be time for all of us to kind of talk about this game coming up. Because the Colts, they beat the Colts, what have you. It is what it is. I think most of us thought that. We're all waiting for Kansas City. And there are some injury notes. Keon Coleman has already been ruled out with a wrist injury. We'll see about Amari Cooper. We'll see about Dalton Kincaid. They are going to come into this short man. But in terms of this matchup alone, really the question of the day for me, and we've already got some tweets. We'll get to those here in just a second. But has this regular season matchup with the Chiefs lost all of its luster, or is it still the quote-unquote game of the year contender for you? And the reason I ask that is because for the last few years, this has been a yearly game, whether it be in Arrowhead or now it's regularly getting to Orchard Park as well. It was always billed as like, that's the game. That's the litmus test until the playoffs. If you beat the Chiefs, you feel like it feels like the season is somewhat of a success until the playoffs. And that's been a big thing for me too. They beat them in the regular season. The game I have on, last year's game when they were 6-6, they beat the Chiefs. They will then ultimately lose to them in the playoffs, like many other years prior. The only game I can think of them losing to them in the regular season, I think, was 2020 when that happened.
It was the COVID season.
Yeah, and
there was no fans. It was in Buffalo. So technically, last year was the first time Mahomes was here in Buffalo with fans. Remember that? That was the conversation. But when you look at this from a league perspective, if you're not a Bills or Chiefs fan, this is still the game of the year.
100%.
Because it's two incredible teams. There's a lot on the line. And when you're looking at it from our perspective, too, there's a lot on the line. It's up for the one seed. But at the same time, I mean, we were talking about this before we went on the air. You can't. Like, you can get excited about this game. I'm not saying, like, I'm excited about it. It's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be high-powered offenses going against each other, against two, like, both teams have great defenses.
I don't even know if it's high-powered offenses for either of them.
That's fair.
I think they're both so wounded, they're like, let's just get through this.
On paper, they're high-powered offenses, but my point is you get all the appeal if you're an out-of-town fan, but it also still means a lot for the Bills. Mm-hmm. In terms of the one seed.
Well, yeah. And
like that's the only thing that I'm the only thing I'm really truly excited for is, hey, if you win this, that really opens up the door for someone else, even if it's not you, for someone else to get the one seed.
Well, and that's really a big part for me too, is the one seed is still live. It would have been much more live if Denver could not succumb to the Chiefs' devilry and witchcraft. But they don't, and now they're still undefeated. But yeah, I mean, if Denver had beaten them and you were looking at both teams could be 9-2 if you win this game, and you now got the tiebreaker over them, and then Baltimore and Houston have both lost recently, so you're ahead of them just on record alone. Yeah, but you still look at the Chiefs' schedule and you go, I just don't know where the losses are coming. Even with these one-score games, even how poorly they play, it seems like they just figure out a way to get it done. Except really against Buffalo in the regular season. Buffalo has had their number in the regular season for years now, and it's been an Arrowhead to the point where I would argue most Bills fans no longer fear even going on the road there. Maybe argue some prefer it because the Bills the last 2 years have lost at home in the playoffs. I'm one of those. Like, I don't care about going on the road. For me, it's much more of I want the bye rather than like home field advantage. Yes, is something I want the bye week
because that gives you extra. It gives you extra time to get healthy, and it gives you time to scout and things like that. Like, it's something the Bills haven't had in our lifetimes ever. I don't even know if they had it back. Did they have it in the four in a row days?
I think during a few of them, yeah, because it would still have been the 1 and 2 seed.
Oh, that's right.
That's the biggest difference now, is it's no longer just now it is just the 1 seed rather than 1 and 2. And that's been a huge difference, and it's allowed the Chiefs to kind of, for some of these years when they've been the 1 seed, to go on a run.
It's almost like a monopoly, kind of. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have control over this regardless of it. And that's why I was saying, even if the Bills don't get the 1 seed, a win on Sunday could open up the door for other teams to get that 1 seed, which I don't know if I want the Ravens to have that, or, I mean, at this point, the Texans and the Bengals are kind of way out of that conversation. So
realistically, and I still think Baltimore's a very good team, if the Bills win on Sunday, it's between those two teams. It's between the Chiefs and Bills for the 1 seed.
Okay.
Just because I don't think Baltimore can make up enough ground, because I don't think the Bills or Chiefs, especially if Buffalo does win on Sunday, I don't think they'll lose enough games for Baltimore to ultimately overtake either of them.
Yeah.
And even honestly, with Baltimore having the head-to-head loss.
Right. And honestly, too, we look at the Bills angle of this, obviously, because we're here. But if you look at the Kansas City angle of this, this is like the last hurdle for them, realistically,
to get undefeated season.
Like, this is it. If they get over the Bills, you basically just have to kind of sleepwalk for the rest of the season.
Put it in cruise control. Stay healthy.
Yeah. Don't do anything stupid.
You're getting guys back too. There's potential you're going to get Hollywood Brown back for the playoffs. Isaiah Pacheco coming back here, I think, in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So for them, it's also we're getting healthier, the whole thing. We can be undefeated going into the playoffs.
Because the end of the season for them is Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, should be all wins, Browns, Texans, Steelers, and then Broncos again. Like those 7 games after the Bills, except for the Steelers and maybe the Texans.
See, I'd say the Broncos, too.
You think the Broncos could do something?
Because that's going to be in Mile High, or not Mile High anymore, but it's going to be in Denver.
Yeah.
And they played them really well. I mean, they played them very, very well.
But I also...
That also could be for a playoff spot for Denver as well, so they might be coming in with some extra juice. You know what? Hearing that now, because I'm also starting to get more respect for the Steelers.
The Steelers are definitely in play.
Yeah,
there.
I mean if sure, the Bills, Buffalo's probably the hardest game you have left.
If the Bills win this game... And the Steelers beat the Chiefs, which, from what they've shown the past few weeks, I think they could actually do for once, which is kind of crazy to say. And that could also be for a playoff spot for the Steelers, too. Don't forget. I mean, that could be something for the AFC North, potentially, if Baltimore keeps fumbling. But I just, man, like, looking at the end of the schedule, the next 3 weeks for the Chiefs, aside from the Bills, those are... There should be 3 wins.
Yeah, the next 3 weeks are easy.
Right. It's Panthers, Raiders, Chargers.
Yeah, it's the end of the year that you're like, okay, there might be something there.
Right.
With Pittsburgh and Denver.
They can't really take their foot off the gas fully. They can kind of get to it until they get to the Texans, and then that's kind of like a tune-up game before you have to play the Steelers. Because the Texans, while they're not great as great as they expected to be, they're still a formidable opponent. I mean, sure, you don't have Stephon Diggs anymore, and Nico Collins is still kind of coming back, but the Texans are still a good team.
He'll be there by that time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like I said, that's kind of a tune-up game for the Chiefs, looking to the Steelers the week after that. Mm-hmm. So it's – oh, and that's the Christmas game.
Oh, that's right. Wow. That's right. Yeah.
That's going to be
– okay, good.
That's going to be a great game. That's going to be big.
Hope so. But for me, though, so this is the excitement of this game. It's seeding. It's the potential of seeding.
Right. It's what it means for the future.
It has, for me, the game has lost the luster of, like, all of a sudden, I think, here, this is the Bills' year. Because they beat the Chiefs in the regular season. I think this is the year. Where a few years ago, it was the feeling mainly after 2020. They had lost.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To him twice that year. once in the regular season, and then blown out in the AFC Championship game. Going into 21, when they ultimately do beat them in the regular season, it was that feeling of, you can get them. Where after 2020, it felt like they were this insurmountable demon that you just could not get past. And at the time, it really was that feeling. You beat them in 21, and then 13 seconds where, I mean, you absolutely can argue, and many, including myself, still do argue that a bad coaching decision right at the end of the game cost you a win there, so that you would have gone 2-0 in that year. It made it all of a sudden easier to dream that they could beat them. And now they've beaten them regularly in the regular season, including, you know, at home or what have you, and or you've gotten them at home. They no longer seem like this unstoppable force, except you seem to beat them at the wrong time. And that's more my thing is, look, I'm still going to be excited about this win. I'm still going to be happy if they win, and all of a sudden the one seed is a real possibility, especially with all the injuries they picked up. Namely, Amari Cooper, we've seen basically 1.5 games of him healthy, and then now he's picked up a wrist injury. Keon Coleman, also a wrist injury. You know, Matt Milano, we haven't seen at all this year. They've dealt with other injuries, such as Terrell Bernard has missed a couple of games here. Ed Oliver's missed a couple of games. For them to be where they're at is incredibly impressive and indicative of how good this team's coaching is. But it will still be a win where, what, this game will end around 8 o'clock-ish on Sunday. By about 9, I'll be like, okay, but they've got to beat them in the playoffs. They've got to beat them in the likely next matchup. Now, they could miss them entirely in the playoffs. They get knocked out early, or God forbid the Bills lose early, and there's never that matchup. They haven't met every single year in the playoffs these last few years. They've lost to Cincinnati in the playoffs. So maybe they don't have to play them. But to be fair, for me, it's just this game has not what it was. I know for neutral fans, Josh has brought that up. For neutral fans, it's this feeling of, yeah, I mean, of course this is the game of the year. This is the AFC playoffs right here. This is what everyone looks at. I mean, I think there's still some of that residue from the 2020 year where, those are actually the two best teams in the AFC. Cincinnati just happened to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. I think there's still some of that left over. I think even Baltimore, too. Like, for Buffalo, Buffalo does have playoff successes. They lose to Kansas City or Cincinnati, but Allen is a wizard in the playoffs. I mean, they were just showing his numbers just against Kansas City in this game up to that point. He was 10 touchdowns and no picks. Like, he was perfect. Where Baltimore, and mainly Lamar Jackson, has had struggles in the playoffs. Namely against really good teams, namely against Kansas City in last year's AFC Championship game. There is not that same oomph to those games as these two. I would argue Cincinnati and Kansas City hate each other more, but I do think from an NFL fan's perspective, these are the two teams you look at when you think of the AFC power structure.
If you're an NFC fan, right, like let's say you're a Lions fan or a 49ers fan, who do you want to win this game?
Buffalo. I want Kansas City gone.
Like this, not a playoff game, this game.
Yeah, I want Buffalo to start getting them for Kansas City to be gone. You want Kansas City to not have the one seed. You want them to have to go through the gauntlet of the NFL playoffs. You want them to have to go on the road. You want them to have to play 3 straight games. You want them gone. And I think that's because it's no disrespect to Buffalo. I think it is a certain point already now with Kansas City of, I would argue, most NFL fans don't want to play them. They want to move on from them. San Francisco, I think especially. San Francisco has lost twice in the Super Bowl to them. I think they more than anyone want them gone. And then for Detroit, you maybe could argue you could take on Buffalo or Kansas City again. I think there is somewhat of a feeling you could take them on just because they aren't necessarily a great team this year. They're not. They keep winning. They're not a great team this year. I'd argue for the Bills the same thing, though. I'd argue for both of them. I mean, back to Joe and Jeremy's conversation from this morning, I'd argue it's for both of them that neither of them are actually as good as their record indicates. Buffalo's had a number of slow starts to the point where it is being a weekly question to McDermott, in which McDermott then also goes, yeah, the slow start's got to stop. And then for the Chiefs, Mahomes, has he finally passed touchdowns to interceptions? I mean, maybe. And even then, I mean, they're not healthy. Their defense is getting it done, but it's a lot of one-score games. It's a lot of like, oh my God, how did that happen? Look at the blocked field goal from this weekend. Just is sort of an explanation for it.
12 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Okay, so he has passed it. But even then, that's still a really poor year from him. They're not getting anything out of Xavier Worthy, I mean, at all. Outside of week one where he had 2 touchdowns, he's been almost a non-factor every single week. He does have, of course, the long touchdown against the Chargers, but he's been effectively a non-factor.
If Keon Coleman was playing this week, I'd be much more excited just because of the fact that you get to see the two of them go head-to-head.
Yeah, in terms of that, yeah.
That was the whole conversation for the last 3 months of the offseason, right? Basically from the draft, actually. So, like, the whole offseason was just, how could you do this? What are you doing? Yep. And we knew that we would have been able to see it eventually, but then it gets here, and then it's, oh, they're both hurt. Well, Keon's hurt and out. Worthy might.
I looked it up. I didn't see any like injury. I know a lot of people said like after the deep ball that was missed, he was injured. I didn't see anything.
I'm not sure. I know that in the last game he was not banged up, but like they were monitoring him essentially. So that's something that people have said is like, you know, something to watch for this week. But I mean, I'm assuming he's going to be playing.
I assume he's
going to
be playing.
Which you're still going to see, oh, well, like this is what the Bills could have had potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Which still, seeing what him and Keon Coleman have both done this year, I would still probably take Keon Coleman.
Well, yeah, because for me, everything I thought about Worthy has somewhat come true, at least early.
The size and things like that.
And then, honestly, a lot of it is just the way they're trying to use him. It's a lot of – Mahomes has to hit 10-90 balls. I mean, he's throwing it 65 yards down the field, and he's got to put it on a dime. That's difficult for any great quarterback, or it's difficult for any quarterback, including great quarterbacks. That's their biggest issue. They don't really know how to use him outside of the fact that he's fast.
I saw a tweet this morning, and it's from @PolishThunder87 on Twitter. Great, great.
Beautiful.
Handle, by the Beautiful. Way. Is Xavier Worthy just Rashid Shaheed? I think...
Yeah, you could argue that.
You could argue that, but it's probably, with both of them, too small of a sample size. Because, I mean, Shaheed has just kind of burst onto the scene, and Worthy is a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long Shaheed's been in the league. I don't know.
Not long.
I think it's been, like, what, 2 years, maybe? Three years? But it's an interesting conversation because Shaheed, when he did burst onto the scene, he had speed. He was getting separation because of the speed, and he was just... Every once in a while, you'd see a bomb aired out to him, and it was a 90-10 ball, like you were just bringing up. And that's kind of what we've seen Worthy do so far. But it's too early to tell, I think, for Worthy of what he actually is. And with a guy like Shaheed, I mean, he's just kind of stuck in a bad offense.
You're right, though. I think it's we're not at a – well, Shaheed's also hurt. He's out for the year with the Saints.
Right, right. But I just meant before that.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, before that, he was kind of their whole offense, and then he gets hurt and they crumble.
They fell away.
Yeah.
But with Worthy, yeah, I think it's a fair argument that it's too early right now to totally like put a nail in the coffin for his career. Obviously, we're, what, 11 games in for him? We still got some time. Same with Keon Coleman. I think it's too early to have a victory lap with him either. I mean, he's still not an incredible separator by any means. Drop issues have also kind of been a thing for him this year. So, yeah, I think it's still early for both. But if we're just going who's happiest right now, it's absolutely Buffalo with Keon. Absolutely. Where the Chiefs are probably sitting there going, you know, how are we not getting anything out of Worthy? We have no healthy wide receivers. We lost Hollywood Brown. We lost Rashee Rice. And
they did add DeAndre Hopkins.
They added Hopkins, but even before that, you weren't getting anything out of Worthy. That was the frustrating part.
Right. But adding Hopkins did definitely supplement their offense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's
been a nice addition for them, absolutely.
Right. But that's not sustainable, obviously. That's just like an in-season rental type of guy. Whereas you were hoping that your young, fast, rookie wide receiver was going to be doing maybe not exactly what DeAndre Hopkins does, but...
I think there was hope that he was going to be like another version of Tyreek Hill for that.
Right. But Tyreek Hill, I mean, they're similar players, but they're also very different.
I think they're similar players only in their fast. I think that's where they're similar, is their fast. Worthy came into this year 20 pounds lighter than Hill in his rookie year. They are not the same player. That's what makes Hill so dangerous. He is bigger than you would think, and then he's that fast. Worthy is just fast, and he looks like a guy that is only fast. He looks like John Ross. He's much smaller than you would like any sort of number one wide receiver to be.
What's funny is Worthy is an inch taller than Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's so...
Hill is short and stocky.
Mm-hmm.
And then is just a flamethrower.
Well, and also, too, you got to think, when he first came into the league, he really wasn't doing all that much in his first
season.
He's
more of a special teams guy and stuff like that.
His sophomore and, I guess if you want to call it, junior seasons, he got over 1,000 yards both times. But that's also kind of when Patrick Mahomes is on the rise and there's all that going on. But looking at what Tyreek Hill went through his first year, I think is how we could look at Xavier Worthy in terms of adjusting to the NFL game with your size. And that's something that Worthy, I think, is still going through. So honestly, I think you're going to have to wait 2 or 3 years to really see what Xavier Worthy can be if he can make that adjustment like Tyreek Hill did.
It's just frustrating if you are the Chiefs because where Hill was, what, a fifth, sixth round pick, Worthy's a first round pick, and you're sort of hoping, not hoping, you kind of even needed him to hit the ground running. We'll see where this goes. I'm excited for that matchup for the Bills, though. I know there's been a lot of talk on the safeties. I think the safeties have been, for the most part, fine this year. Not great, but we're used to great safety play, and I think that's going to be a big difference now. But I'm excited to see how they handle him because he has had opportunities to be open. Mahomes has just missed those throws. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll get to your tweets as well when we come back. But really, the question of the day is, has this regular season matchup with the Chiefs lost its luster for you? Or is it still that game of the year contender? We'll also get a look at the Sabres. They lost yesterday in not heartbreaking fashion, but definitely frustrating fashion. 7-5 to Montreal. We'll get a look in with them as Paul Hamilton will join the show at 11 o'clock. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.